वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृतं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयोदीरि निष्टप्रियेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेव्या भगवती वचमशोकी भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी निगमकपतुरुकरिदं परं शुकमकरं तद्द्रव्यसमितं पिबत भगवतं रसमारयं महोरहोरुसिकभुवि भावुकः. Text 37. 39. Ena purva kritam yat tat. Rajana Krishna Varina Rajana Krishna Varina Jahush Te Ante Tad Atmana Jahush Te Anta Tad Atmana Kita Peshashkrito Jata Kita Peshashkrito Jata Ena Purva Kritam Yata Rajana Krishna Varina Jahushte Ante Tad Atmana Kita pesha skrito jata Ena purva kritam yata Rajana Krishna varina Jahushte ante tadatmana Kita pesha skrito jata Ena, the sinful activity of blaspheming the Supreme Lord, purvakritam, executed in previous verse, jat, which, tat, that, rajana, kings, Krishna vairina, always acting as enemies of Krishna. Jahu gave up. Te, all of them. Ante, at the time of death. Tadatmana, attaining the same spiritual body and form. Kita, a worm. Peshashkrita, captured by a black drone. Jata, just like. Translation, please repeat. Not only Sisupala and Dantravaka, but also many, many other kings who acted as enemies of Krishna attained salvation at the time of death because they thought of the Lord. They receive spiritual bodies and forms the same as his. Just as worms captured by a black drone obtain the same type of body as the drone. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The mystery of yogic meditation is explained here. Real yogis always meditate on the form of Vishnu within their hearts. Consequently, at the time of death, they give up their bodies while thinking of the form of Vishnu and thus attain Vishnu Loka, Vaikuntha Loka, where they receive bodily features the same as those of the Lord. From the sixth canto, we have already learned that when the Vishnu Dutas came from Vaikuntha to deliver Ajamiyo, they looked exactly like Vishnu, with four hands and the same features as Vishnu. Therefore, we may conclude that if one practices thinking of Vishnu and is fully absorbed in thinking of him at the time of death, one returns home back to Godhead. Even enemies of Krishna who thought of Krishna in fear, bhaya, such as King Kamsa, received bodies in a spiritual identity similar to that of the Lord. Here it mentions the incarnations of Jaya and Vijaya. They're gatekeepers. Purva, Dakin, Pachtime, Uttara, East, South, West, and North. So when you do pujas, you always worship the doors. And East is, you know, the most important direction. Deities generally face East. And the doorkeepers there are Jaya and Vijaya. It's wonderful when you go to South Indian temples, like, for instance, Trivandrum Padmanabha Temple, and you see magnificent carvings of Jaya and Vijaya, Bala and Bala, Prabala and Bala, Chandra Prachanda at the entranceways, at the doorways, the Dwarapalas. You don't get to be in that position unless you're a great devotee of the Lord. And so when the four Kumaras approached and the, you know, Jaya and Vijaya blocked their way, with the resultant curse, that we have to understand that that's not an ordinary thing. They're not wrongdoers. In fact, when the four Kumaras cursed the doorkeepers to take birth in the material world, and they were full of consternation, they were thinking, we have our service, we're right here at the entrance to Vaikuntha, now we're going to be separated, we're going to be removed so far, far away, or considerably crestfallen. At that time, Narayan appeared on the scene and consoled them. Don't feel bad, number one, don't feel bad. You haven't made a mistake. Any more than Maharaj Parikshit made a mistake by garlanding the sage with a snake. You may say, you know, as a mundaner, he was hungry, he was thirsty, and he didn't get right reception, and so on and so forth. But actually, it was Krishna's arrangement. Now, Arjuna didn't make a mistake losing his perspective. Sishyastaham sarimam tam prapanam. On the field of Kurukshetra, that was Krishna's arrangement. Otherwise, Bhagavad Gita wouldn't have been spoken. So Narayan reassured them, you didn't make a mistake. If Krishna wants you to do something, you can hardly do otherwise. And if you want to do something that Krishna doesn't want you to do, there's no way he can do it. If necessary, he'll just paralyze you. Oh, I'm going to do that. Krishna doesn't want me to do it. All of a sudden, I lose feeling in my arm or whatever. So be reassured, this was my plan. And secondly, as far as being far distanced from me, don't worry. If you're those who are thinking of Krishna, they're always with Krishna. Even when Krishna left Vrindavan, Goloka eva navasati akalatma bhuto, padam ekam gachanti, Krishna never, although he, in one sense, he left Vrindavan to go to Mathura and then Dwarka and so on and so forth, in another sense, he never left because the gopis had already captured him within their hearts. And he never left. So that's one way of being in constant meditation of Krishna. And another way, which is also quite intense, Narad Muni once expressed envy of the demons. He was envious of the envious. Because he said that when those personalities really hate Krishna, they really envy him, then they're in constant meditation of Krishna. Naraji, he said, sometimes there's a little lapse there. There are a few instructional stories about how Naraji, one time, you know, Narayan asked Naraji to take a pot of water, just like the village ladies. He said, bring me some water from the well on a pot. So Naraji was, and he was very proud of himself that he brought the water to Lord Narayan without spilling a drop. And Lord said, very nice, very nice. Now tell me another thing. How many times did you think of me while you were balancing this pot of water? And Naraji, oops. So Naraji, sometimes he even envies the demoniac because they're constantly in meditation of Krishna. And these personalities are actually acting the roles of demons. But don't forget, they're in constant meditation on Krishna. So it mentions here the three births. And then also Lord Vishnu said, I'll give you the option, 7 verses devotees, 3 verses demons. And in order to get back to the Lord, all the quicker they chose the 3 verses demons. And then one more, right? One more. What was that? 4th birth. Yeah, they didn't want to miss the pass on the Lord Chaitanya. So they elected voluntarily to take a 4th birth in the material world as Jaya and Vijaya. So they were killed in the one case by Narasimha. Then they're also killed by Sri Ramachandra, Kumbhakarna and Ravana, and then Krishna also killed Sisupal and Dantavakra. It's interesting because a lot of times when you get students from high schools and colleges that are studying world religions, they believe that Krishna is one of the Das avatars. Krishna is one of the 10 avatars of Vishnu. And I'm not sure, does anyone know where that comes from? Because the authoritative delineation of the Das avatars, as far as I know, is given by Jayadev Goswami in his Gita Govinda. And in Gita Govinda, he does not put Krishna as one of the 10 avatars of Vishnu. He says, Krishna is the source of the 10 avatars of Vishnu, so how can he be an avatar of Vishnu? And from what I understand, that's the definitive, you know, exposition of the Das avatars. You know, all the dances, you know, this is how many times at your festivals throughout the years have you invited a Bharatanatyam dancer, and how many times have they done Das avatar? It's like, you know, it's almost inevitable that if you have 3 or 4 dancers, one of them's going to do Das avatar. It's just inevitable, isn't it? And that's based on Gita Govinda. So I'm not sure where the idea that Krishna is one of the avatars of Vishnu comes from, but it seems to be pretty prevalent in academic circles. But even if you accept that Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu, it doesn't really matter that much. Is a Bush a governor of Texas also? Who's the governor of Texas? Is it also a Bush? Oh, it's not a Bush. Not his brother or something? Oh, that's Florida. Okay. But they're both Republicans, right? Obviously, isn't it? So if the President of the United States were to come to Texas, visit, well, he lives here, but...
Former governor.
Well, let's just say in a more general sense, if a President of the United States wants to come to a particular state, where the governor is of the same political party as he is, he'll not bypass the governor. He'll make actually a great brouhaha about coming through the governor, won't he? This will support the governor. This will bulwark his party in the state. This will help the governor's chances of re-election if people feel that the governor of our state is very close to the president. The governor calls and the president comes, you see. The president wants to actually give that impression because it strengthens the party overall. And he's got nothing to lose. He's already the president. But he wants, you know, the governors and the senators and all to be Republicans as much as possible. So you give them face. You don't bypass them so that they lose face. You give them as much face as you can. And that will stand them in good stead at the next election. So even if, for argument's sake, you say that Krishna is one of the 10 avatars of Vishnu, so what? So what? He's coming through Vishnu. He created Vishnu, and he's coming through Vishnu. In that incident in the Krishna book, where the 6 sons of the... Was it the 6 the sons of the Brahman or was it Devaki sons? Sons of the Brahman. Sons of the Brahmins. They were missing. And then Arjuna made a hasty promise which he couldn't fulfill. He couldn't find the souls of the sun anywhere, even in Yamaloka. Then Krishna said, get on my chariot. I'll take you there. And they went to Vishnu Loka, where Lord Vishnu confessed that this was all an elaborate plot just so that I could see you. Just so that I could see you, see your surpassing beauty, see your surpassing qualities, which are not possessed even by Lord Vishnu himself. So Jayadev Goswami does not include Krishna as one of the Das Avatar. They think it's Buddha instead. And of course, that's what we do. We follow that. If you see Das Avatars in the Fate Museum in Los Angeles, there's Lord Buddha. And the ones that include Krishna, they leave out Lord Buddha. That's the basic difference. But even if you say that Krishna is an avatar of Vishnu, then I don't see that there's a real serious problem with that. As Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ada Sabha Brita, Shayam, what is that? Shayam Chava Bravisime. And the other, what's that famous quote? That Krishna is the original Personality of Godhead. He's come into the world to kill Indra. What is that? Ete Kanksha Kalo Pumsham. Krishna Stu Bhagavan Shayam. It's a logical principle that if something creates something, if something proceeds from something else, that which is preceded from the origin cannot be more than the origin. Cannot be more than the origin. Whatever qualities there are in the emanation, they have to be there and even more amplified in the source of it. Simple example. If you can, you know, go outside in June and without a shirt on for a couple of hours in Dallas, Texas, and get a sunburn, then would it make sense to conclude that the source of those sun rays, the sun glow, is cold? How logical would that be? That would be totally illogical. In fact, if 93 million miles away from the sun, just due to a lack of prudence, a lack of discretion, you had your shirt off, you got burned, and you had to put salve and aloe vera, then the logical conclusion would be that it's not only is it warm in the sun, but it's a lot warmer. A lot warmer. So if there's a, if Krishna has so much personality, this isn't rocket science. You know, when the Rupa Goswami wrote Nectar of Devotion, just listing all the 64 qualities of Krishna, the pastimes and so on and so forth. This is not splitting hairs. This is not philosophical gymnastics here. This is not qualitative. It's what? We say it every day. It's part of our preaching. It's one of our essential axioms. This is not qualitative. This is what? Hello? Thank you. It's quantitative. Krishna has so many personal qualities. And we don't find that when we talk about Vishnu or Narasimha or Parasurama or Ramachandra. We don't find that. They're the same as Krishna. It's like from milk you get yogurt. They're both the same. They're both dairy products. But at the same time, you can't then turn around and from yogurt get milk. You can't from yogurt get milk. So just from what we say every single day when we're preaching, we're quantitatively one, we're qualitatively one, but we're quantitatively different. The sheer volume of Krishna's endearing qualities, just it's like the sun in the sky. It's so obvious. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. That's all there is to it. He's not coming from Vishnu. It's absurd when you think of it. My wife and I went to Kerala a couple of years ago, and we came to Cochin at a very good time. They were having their annual performing arts festival. I think it's Kathakali, Kuchipudi, Bharatanatyam, Sanskrit pronunciation, harmonium playing, sitar playing, all the different arts, drama. For a week, they had on 20 different stages different things going on, like 6-8 times a day. There were probably 500 different performances within the course of a week. And the main venue was a huge tent on the beach, which would hold like 5,000 people. And that was a Saturday. It was Kuchipudi. Started at 10 in the morning, and they were high school. They're all seniors in high school. I guess it's what they learn in high school, along with soccer and cricket. They learn Bharatanatyam dancing. And 99% of those students would never dance again in their lives. This is their last. Some of them were graded A, would go on to teach and so on, but only 1%. They were so good. And one thing, when you're 16 years old, what you lack for in grace and finesse, you make up for in what? Beauty and also what? Enthusiasm and also what? Okay. These are all true, but there was another quality that just struck me. I say, even though we've had in Utah many, many world-class performers, I mean, you don't get to be a world-class performer until you're in your, you know, late 20s or 30s. You don't get that recognition. It just takes that long. But you've lost something by that time. And, yeah, but what is it? What is it? What is comes with youth? So I would give anything to have any one of those kids come to Utah. Because although we've had many world-class performers with grace and finesse, there's something you just don't have in the same measure at 30 that you do at 16. Huh?
Energy.
Yeah. How about this? How about this? Speed. Those kids were fast. I mean, fast. Just, you couldn't believe the lightning speed of the footwork and the handwork and so on and so forth. Just amazing like that. So, from 10 in the morning till 1, the boys went, and they all had numbers, and they had like 12 minutes each. Then they had an hour break, and the girls went from 2 till 2 in the morning. I mean, that's a lot of, you know, they only get 10 or 12 minutes each, and they're one after another. So you can just imagine how many contestants there were. And I was in my Dodi and Kurta, and I was the 5,000 people in this tent. And I'm like holding my camera up, taking pictures, you know, stretching the zoom out as much as I can. And I get a tap on my shoulder. It's a policeman. So I'm thinking, this is not good. I'm like the only Westerner, you know, on the whole beach. And I just try to ignore it, you know. Then he taps on my shoulder again and say, okay, what is it? He says, uh-oh. So he takes me around from the back all the way up to the side. And there's a cordoned off area. There's the stage, big, big stage, with a wonderful backdrop. And then there's the judges. There's about 12 judges, some of the top performers. And then there's the press section. And it's cordoned off, you see. So he takes me into the press section. And now I'm like just this far from the stage where I was like 100 meters away before. And now I'm just like in heaven. And there's a reporter from the biggest newspaper in Kerala. I mean, well, they're all newspapers. But we got to talk, and I had one of our Utah temple flyers, and he became fascinated. He said, what? Utah? You have this temple in Utah? So he said, do you mind if we do a feature on you? So he called on his cell phone, he got another photographer, took a picture, and I couldn't read a word of the article. I've still got it in Utah, if someone speaks Malayalam. But we were featured in the Sunday edition of the next day's edition of the paper. But my point is, after all this digression, is that a required element in this Kuchipudi presentation, a required element, was something Krishna pastimes. Something Krishna pastimes. They dance on the plate. They dance on the plate, and they put the plate on there. There are certain requirements. So one required element is Krishna Leela. And I swear, a few people went for the universal form or the Bhagavad Gita or something like that. But the vast majority, they portrayed the childhood pastimes of Krishna. Stealing the butter and feeding it to the monkeys and getting tied up by the abdomen by Mother Yashoda. All the different types of mischief that Krishna got into. And so this went on. This went on for 12 hours for the girls and 3 hours for the boys. So just imagine, just take this as ample testimony that Krishna is full of personality. It's the supreme personality of Godhead. And there's no way that he could be an emanation from Lord Vishnu. So Krishna came 5,100 years ago, just like Christians say Lord Jesus Christ. He came 2,000 years ago. He was on the planet for 32 years. Krishna came 5,000 years ago. He was on the planet for 125 years. Now, what's the difference? Those are similarities. What's the difference? We wear this tilak on our foreheads. People always ask, what do you wear the tilak for? I say, if you were a pious Christian and you were gone on pilgrimage to Bethlehem, as you enter into the precincts of Bethlehem, it might occur to you that if you scooped up a handful of dust, there's a probability, I think, probability, that at least one of those millions of dust particles was stepped on by Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And so, following that meditation, you might take some of that and put it on your head as a symbol of humility, as a way of purifying yourself. That by proxy, the dust was touched by the feet of the Lord, Messiah, then you put it on your head. So it's a blessing, you see. So in the same way, when pilgrims enter the environs of Sri Vrindavan Dham, that place where the Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago, they roll in the dust. They do abhishekam. And then when they go back home to their home countries, that dust is actually marketed. Gopi Chandan, you know, it's a blue and red package with wrapped and all. And we get up in the morning and we put a teaspoon of water in the palm of our left hand. We make a paste with it. And then we apply this dust to 12 different parts of the upper body, of which this is the only one that's visible. Om Keshavaya, Narayana, Madhavaya, Vishnuvayana, Govindaya, Madhusana, Trivikrana, Vamana, Shira, Vishnukesha, Padmanamaya, Dhammadarayana. So Krishna was on the planet for 125 years, and Jesus was on the planet for 32 years. Now, what information do we have from Lord Jesus? We don't have much information at all. There's 18 years that are missing. There's only four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I think 32 pages altogether. That was not the case with Krishna. There's no missing years. There's not 32 years, four times as much time by earthly calculations. All of it chronicled, all of it elaborately chronicled. In the Vaishnava Institute in Loy Bazaar in Vrindavan, there's said to be 10,000 volumes, all about Krishna Leela, Krishna pastimes. So there's so much information about Krishna and the activities that he performed, including killing Sisupal and Dantavarka. So much evidence to support Aishwarya Samagrasha, Viryasya, Yasasastriya, Jnanam, Vairagyas, Chapi, Shanam, Bhagam, Tingana, all wealth, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge, all renunciation. And in every and throughout all of Krishna's sojourn in this material, he did so many wonderful activities. When I walked in yesterday evening, I just looked at the verse which Bharat had so nicely. This is nice handwriting, isn't it? This is the best, I think. And this, huh? Oh, is it? I thought it's Bharat. Yeah. This is the best I've ever seen. You know, anywhere. This is the best. So I saw Vikrama. Vikrama. Vikrama means the Lord is very heroic, you know. He's very, very heroic. So Krishna performed almost every minute of his pastime, something wonderful. And if you do something wonderful, people give you a name, it'll generate another name for you, and that name will also tell the story. Let's say hypothetically that one of you was on a World Cup soccer team, and in the last minute you scored the winning goal, won for your country the World Cup. So then everyone would call you something, champ, they'd call you champ. Wherever you go, people would high-five you, hey champ, you know. And that moniker, champ, would bring to mind that heroic activity that you did. It would carry with it a story. So Krishna was here for 125 years. So many stories. So many wonderful things he did. He stood there he sat there in the Rajasuya Yajna while Sisupala, and he was nominated by, first of all, his humility. He took birth in the Yadu dynasty. Does anyone know why that in itself was an act of vairagya, detachment or humility? He was nominated by Sahadev to be the number one personality. That meant in the whole world, because all the best were there, and Sahadev nominated Krishna as the best among the best, and everybody endorsed it, except for Sisupala and a couple of other malcontents. So then why, considering that Krishna was the best personality, almost unanimous, is his having taken birth in Yadu dynasty an act of great, great, great humility? The answer is because none of the Yadus could be king. Goes back to the old days when Yayati had five sons. The oldest was Yadava, the youngest was Puru. Yayati was, you know, he had his wife Devyani, but he also had an affair with Sarmista, and when Devyani found out about it, she told her dad, Sukracharya, and then Sukracharya cursed him to have premature old age. So Yayati went to his oldest son and said, "Can you take the curse? Because I'm not done enjoying." And Yayati refused. So then, Yadu refused. So Puravas cursed him, that your descendants will never be king. So Krishna, in order that his devotees, Yudhisthira and others, be exalted, From the very beginning of his advent on the earth planet, he ensured that he would never be king because of this curse. Although everyone wanted to be king, because of the curse, he never became. So that's just an example, you know, of humility. So from our culture, as opposed to the Judeo-Christian tradition, where they only have four or five names of God, we have so many names. We have so many names that Krishna left us as a legacy of his 125-year sojourn. Vishnam, Vishnam, Vishadkaro, Bhuta, Bhavya, Bhavatkaraha, Bhuta, Brid, Bhuta, Brid, Bhutatma, Bhuta, Bhavanam, Bhutatma, Paramatmacha, Muktaram, Paramam, Giri, Avya, Purusha, Chetra, Chetra, Gnor, Charevacha. That's two verses of the Vishnu Sahasranama. There's 105 more. How much time do we have? What time does this class end? I was hoping to go through it. Huh? It only takes about 30 minutes. If you go fast. Okay, anyway, I'm just kidding. But it says that the name Krishna is as powerful, that you get the same benefit from chanting Krishna as you do from the whole Vishnu Sahasranama. Because Krishna means all attractive, and whatever any other name refers to, whether it's beauty or his wealth or his fame or knowledge, at the end of the day, Krishna is all attractive. So just saying Krishna gives you the same benefit as chanting the whole Vishnu Sahasranama. And it certainly saves time. Although there is one caveat, that although saying Krishna one time gives you the same potency as having spent 30 minutes chanting the Vishnu Sahasranama, what's the entangling feature? Why is it not that simple? There's two reasons. Why is it not that simple? Is that what we do? We just say, Krishna, okay, done. Now let me go for my service. Huh? What's that? You have to chant without offenses? Sure. But if something brings you such good fortune, if something's so powerful, I mean, are you going to be so foolish as to just chant it once? Isn't that dumb and dumber? Oh, yeah, I chanted Krishna, so that's it. Now what else? Now what else can I do? I mean, honestly, doesn't a person who's looking to capitalize on this human form of life, who's looking for golden opportunities, you think a person just going to chant Krishna once and leave it at that? If one recitation brings you so much enrichment and so much good fortune, are you going to just leave it at that? Or are you going to compound your good fortune? Of course you are. And then another point is that not only does it give you the same benefit as the whole Vishnu, but it gives you the same pleasure, more pleasure. And so it's the most preferred activity. You don't feel like when you come to the point of chanting without offenses, or even if you come to the clearing stage, or even in the neophyte stage, you feel inspiration, potency, and happiness. So there isn't a tendency, okay, now I've done that, what else? It's not equal to any other activity. It's super excellent. It stands head and shoulders above and beyond. It's like the Empire State Building compared to a hovel. It becomes the preferred activity of those who are tasting transcendental bliss. Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. Prabhupada once said, I think he was in Los Angeles, and I was referring to Venice Beach. He said, in the material world, sometimes you get a tsunami, which comes, and there's a 30-foot high wave, and maybe it goes half a mile onto the shore, and then it recedes. And that's very rare. It has its limits. Based on the limits of the ocean, hundreds of thousands of people in all over the world are enjoying beaches. And there's no thought of the ocean exceeding its limits. And when it does happen, it's such an extraordinary thing that people are totally unaware of. It's so rare, it's almost not even worth thinking about. So the ocean, the material ocean, is bounded, it's limited. But the ocean of bliss, which is generated from chanting Krishna's name, has no limits. It has no limits. It's like a tsunami that just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Rupa Goswami, he said, Tande Tandavim. I'm kind of rusty on my verses. Tande Tandavim, Karna Krodha. Karna Krodha Kadambini. He said, when I take those two syllables, Krishna, just like when we have the, what is that called, the mortar, and that you take the sandalwood stick and then you moisten and then you rub it. From that friction, you get a beautiful paste that cools you. So Rupa Goswami says, Tande Taravim Ratam Vitanurta Tandala Labje Karna Kroda Kadambidi. Anyway, I forget the whole word. He says, when I rub those two syllables, when I turn them in my mouth, it generates this wonderful nectar, this elixir, which is so pleasurable, so ecstatic. See? And so then I wish that I had thousands of mouths to compound, to multiply this pleasure, and thousands more ears to experience the nectar of tasting, the nectar of the holy name. And who was it? Who was it that cursed Lord Brahma as being a? Who was it that cursed Lord Brahma as not having any real spiritual sense at all? He said, Lord Brahma is just a, huh? The gopis here. So, you know, if Lord Brahma had any sense of what, you know, happiness and pleasure is, he wouldn't have just made us with one mouth and two ears. I mean, that's just the tidal wave, the ocean of pleasure from chanting Hare Krishna is so vast and always increasing that had Lord Brahma any inkling of its potency, he would have given us, you know, hundreds of mouths and hundreds of ears. So we're very fortunate that we've come to the realization of the unique advantages of chanting Hare Krishna. And we've also, by Prabhupada's mercy, been given a situation where we actually have ample time to take advantage of this most valuable pearl. And so let us of all people, you know, not waste our time. Let us of all people, you know, taste the nectar of Krishna consciousness and comport ourselves in such a way as to convey to the public in general this unique potency and bliss which comes from chanting Hare Krishna, so that they may be consequently inspired to do the same. I'll stop then. There. Any questions or comments?
Well, just in that Das Avatar prayer by Jayadev, they don't list Krishna as one of those avatars, but it's Balaram.
Right, that's it. Yeah, Balaram. Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it true that Krishna appears once every kapha? And therefore,
all the other Krishna creations that appear in Dwarka Yuga are Krishna, which is a pure Vishnu. Well, like I said, there's not a problem. If you want to look at it that way, there isn't really a problem Krishna coming through Vishnu. But just understand that he's also the source of Vishnu. I mean, you don't think that Vishnu is the source of Krishna. No, Vishnu is not the cause of all causes. Vishnu is caused by Krishna. Prabhupada gave the example that the government, sometimes in rural times, they would sponsor a fair, a market, a traveling market, comes to a certain area, centrally located, sets up all people, like a farmer's market, set up and sell all their produce. People come from miles around to buy. And then by 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, they've packed up and they've and it's gone, you know. Start arriving, sunrise, and set up the booths and the stalls, and then by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's gone. So Lord Vishnu's domain over which he has sovereignty is like that farmer's market. It comes and goes. Bhutva-bhutva-paliyate. Where does it come from? It comes from the eternal, imperishable spiritual world, which is constant. It doesn't experience coming and going. And, of course, the transcendental autocrat there is Krishna, and the highest, best planet is Goloka Vrindavan. Any other questions or comments?
There's a being in near Jagannath Puri named Alarnath.
Alarnath means the control of the devotees. Is that what it means?
I'm not sure.
The Lord of the devotees.
Yeah.
But it's a media Vishnu that's outside of Jagannath Puri, some miles from Jagannath Puri. And when Lord Chaitanya was, when during Sanatra, Lord Jagannath had separated in seclusion, Lord Chaitanya was feeling separation from Lord Jagannath. So he would go visit this deity of Alarnath. But this deity of Alarnath was a Koran Vishnu form. And so it was a question how Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Radha. So being in the mood of Radha, why would he go visit a Koran Vishnu form when Jagannath was in seclusion? So the pastime was that this form was Krishna. When Krishna disappeared and the gopis were looking for Krishna, they ran into the Lord Narayana and they asked him what they had seen Krishna.
Yeah, that's a good example. They were looking for Krishna and then they came on Lord Narayana and they bowed down and said, you know, some prayers and so on and so forth, the hymns of the Vedas or whatever, maybe something similar, and then said, but their real motive was, did you happen to see Krishna come by here? that was all they were really interested in. Could Narayan tell them where Krishna went? Good example.
And then the presence of Radharani, Krishna, he couldn't maintain his Vara Vishnu form. He went back to his original two-handed
form. Yam Shama Shandaram Achinta Guna Shurupam. Alright, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.